So let's dive deep. Let's do it. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Are you really ready to look at yourself? You are seen, you are heard, you are loved. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Cut all that out. Just say the deep dive with Adam Roa. I don't like any of that.
The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
What's up, deep divers? Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Adam Roa, and today is a deep dive musing to kick off January 2019, the very first podcast that I am doing of this new year. And for those of you who have been loyal followers, loyal deep divers for an extended period of time, then you may have been surprised by how long it's been since I've released a podcast. In many ways, this was an exercise for myself, actually, in detaching from the feelings of responsibility, the feeling of I need to do something instead of I want to do something. And don't get me wrong, I want to release this podcast. In fact, this is one of my favorite things that I put out into the world is this audio experience, these conversations with amazing human beings and these ramblings from my consciousness, and I love it. And at the end of 2018, what I chose to do was go as far in the other direction of my normal routine as I possibly could. And as I've been creating this show, The Art of Choosing Love, I am traveling with a team of people. I'm traveling with Matt and with Ryan, and now we're bringing Nico on, who will be an additional person who is traveling in our core group all over the world. We share rooms, we share beds sometimes, we share airplane flights and social media and all of it. We're deeply interconnected. And so as I've been going through life over the last 6 months, I really haven't been alone. And not only have I not been alone, there's been a camera on me. And so what I say and what I do has been under a microscope in a way. And it takes on this grandiose thing when you realize that anything that you might say could wind up being blasted out into the world. And so I thought, what would be the absolute furthest I could go from that? Well, the obvious one was be by myself. Don't actually have a bunch of other people around me. And the next thing would be, okay, you've been doing so much talking and you've been doing so much output. What if you just stopped talking? And so I designed an experience for myself, basically, of a week in solitude, really removing myself from people that I knew and shared experiences and going into my own world. And not only that, I removed speaking. And so for what wound up being a total of about 5 days, I chose not to speak. I allowed myself to sing if I wanted to sing and express myself that way. But there was no speaking, and I interacted with as few people as I possibly could. And I did this on a remote island in Thailand, a population of about 4,000 to 4,500. And it was challenging. I'd love to sit here and say it was just amazing. It was exactly what I needed. And yes, those things are true, but it came in a challenging way. It reminded me a lot when I went into Vipassana. And for those of you who aren't familiar, Vipassana is a style of meditation and meditation practice that was taught by Buddha after he emerged from the Bodhi tree in that infamous story of enlightenment. And traditionally, a Vipassana would be 10 days and you meditate for 10 hours a day, and there's no speaking. And in addition to no speaking, there's no reading, there's no writing, there's no exercise. You are really just to be and do this specific form of meditation. And when I did that, I on day three or so, I went into my anger. I went into my frustration. I thought the whole thing was stupid. I didn't want to be there. And that happened again. That happened again when I went into these 5 days of silence, where on day three, I thought about how stupid this was and I wasn't allowing myself any access to my phone or my computer. I thought about how much work I could be getting done in this time, finally having a moment to myself to just dive into stuff that had been queued up, waiting to get accomplished. And how valuable to, one, trust that I wouldn't break, quote unquote, basically the agreement I set with myself. And this was over Christmas. And so there was some emotions around, you know, wanting to have friends and family and that sort of holiday thing. And knowing that I wouldn't break, knowing that when I set an intention, when I make an agreement with myself, I honor it. That is a really important lesson, if it were to be called that, that I have seen in my own life and have also seen it go the other direction in other people's lives. What level of confidence, what level of trust do you have in being able to honor your word? If you say you're going to do something, do you actually do it? Or are you one of these people who says, yeah, I'm going to start meditating every day, and then by day three or four, you've stopped? Or I'm gonna work out 3 times a week, and you go, you know, 2 times that week, and on the last day of the week, you think, well, I went twice. That's good. That's better than nothing. You see, for me, I prefer not to commit to things. I prefer not to actually say I'll be somewhere or I will do something unless I am 100% certain that I can commit to it. Because once I give my word, it's as good as done. And that includes and starts with my relationship with myself and what I commit to personally. And so in this experience, I knew that I would not be breaking. And that in many ways was frustrating because I desired to. And what came through most strongly, and that's what I want to talk about, because I could dive into all these different lessons of what I learned during this time. But the one that I want to speak about today is spaciousness. I released my monthly newsletter earlier this morning, and I do that once a month. If anyone wants to be getting that, go to adamroa.com and you just put in your email address, and I send out one newsletter a month that includes a written kind of journal entry about what I think is present in the month. And oftentimes, if you resonate with me and my content, I know that the stuff that I'm going through is very often things that you can relate to. So I encourage you, I invite you to be a part of the newsletter mailing list if that's interesting to you. And in this newsletter, the theme for January, something to think about in January, is input. Because I recognize that for the last 6 months, I had been incredibly focused on output, what I was creating. And then when we would create something, immediately it became, okay, what's the next episode? Or what's the next poem? Or what's the next person that we could bring into the business to help us expand? What is the next place that we're going to travel to? What are we going to do while we're there? It's just this output. Go, 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 go. And that was exciting. It was really exciting, and it was also incredibly draining. The most recent episode 16, I believe, of The Art of Choosing Love, I show you the breakdown I had in Bali when it all came to a head and I realized this is not sustainable. The speed of creation, the speed of output is not sustainable. All of us got sick. Matt and Ryan and myself, we all got sick. We all felt it. We felt like we'd been redlining the engine for far too long, and it was time to adjust, time to shift something. We didn't know what it was, but it was time to shift. And in the silence and the stillness and the solitude over Christmas into the new year, what I recognized was most of what I've been creating for the last several years, including The Art of Choosing Love, has all begun and been guided by spirit, God, source, intuition, higher self, whatever we want to call it. I feel as if I'm given directions almost. I'm given this intuitive sense in my body of what the next step is. And something that's really important to recognize is that so many people get focused on what are the third and fourth and fifth steps. Where is this going? If I do step one, well, what's step two? And the thing is that you may not be able to see what steps three and four are until you've done steps one and two. Oftentimes, you can't even see what step two is until you've done step one. And that's, if there's anything that separates me, in my opinion, anything that separates me in any way from anyone else in what I'm able to accomplish, it's that I will take step one without knowing step two. I will trust that my intuition and the guidance that I'm receiving, that highest excitement that's coming through me of what to do next, if I can continue to lean into that and trust that, I know that the next step will reveal itself. And that next step might look completely different than step one. I might do step one and think I'm creating this whole thing only for step two to reveal itself, which was that I really disliked what I was doing in step one. And so the idea that I was so sure about is actually not where I want to be putting my energy and attention. But doing step one, the act of doing it, is the only way that I learned that it's not actually exciting to me. So how could I see step two, which might be a whole different creative project? How could I even see that creative project if I'm holding on to the idea that the first one, that first step, is actually what I want to be doing? Every step of the process will reveal to you additional information. And the more information we have, the more awareness, because that's what we're talking about, right? The more awareness that we're able to hold, the more choice that we have. Things will reveal themselves as opportunities that we never could have even imagined because we didn't have the information, we didn't have the awareness before. And so over my time in the silence and the stillness, in my frustrated moments, I spent a lot of time spiraling around, what do I want to do? How do I adjust? How do I set up the business? How do I, all these hows, like how do I do this? What do I, and I came back to why. As I started to remove, let the hows play out, let myself spiral in those for a while, I got back to the why and the what. The what came from the why. Because I was listening again. I was listening to the part of me that desired fun and play, because in many ways, that's how this whole Art of Choosing Love ecosystem started, was a desire to share, but from the space of this is just me, and I desire it to be fun and playful and not always so serious and sad. And so when I could tap into that, I realized that a lot of how I'd been looking at things, how do I scale the business? How do I do this? How do I do that? Was coming from a place of feeling like I needed to, feeling as if it was important to the timing of everything. Oh, you just had a poem go viral? Amazing. You should capitalize on that energy. Do something with it. And that feeling of responsibility, the feeling of have to, I find in my own life that drains so much of the fun, so much of the creativity, because it puts me in this box. Why do I have to? Think of all the things that we will often say we have to do. I have to go to work. It's probably a really common one. Do you? What happens if you don't? Yeah, you might get fired. Cool. Then what? I'd have to get a new job. Have to? Do you? What happens if you don't get a new job? I wouldn't be able to pay rent and I'd be homeless. Okay. Great. So then now you're homeless. Then what? Well, then I'd have to live on the street. Okay. Is that true? Do you? There's plenty of other options, right? Like woofing or live works scenarios where you can just find a spot that'll take you in exchange for working. Doesn't have to be on the street. Okay, let's say you do that. Let's say you do the woofing thing and go work on some organic farm in exchange for working on the farm or whatever. This is a real thing, by the way. And then you did that. Well, then I'd have to figure out what I would do after the 3-month program is up. Okay, do you? Do you need to? The point is, and I could keep doing that forever and ever and ever, very few decisions in our lives are actual have-tos. Because at the end of the day, the only thing you have to do, I don't actually know if there's anything you have to do. I was just about to say that. To me, let's say a baseline is just to live, to keep living. Have to breathe, drink water, eat. I mean, some people would say you didn't even have to eat. Just live off prana and sun gazing. But those have to's, if we just kept it to just to stay alive, to live, gets rid of most of the have to's that modern day society will tell you are necessary. Now, very clear distinction here. I want to be able to pay my rent. I want to not be homeless. I want to earn income. I want to buy myself clothes that make me feel so good. I want to be able to go and purchase organic, high quality groceries. Those are all wants. I don't have to do any of those things. I don't have to create the life that allows me to do those things. I want to. And so getting back to the why, when I was sitting in that silence, frustrated, thinking about all the hows, and I got back to the why, I realized that the why comes back to, what do I want? What do I actually want? Sitting in that question, where is my highest excitement right now? And asking that question and giving myself the space for the answers to come through, journaling, meditation, silence, no output, not answering emails or social media messages, but just existing and allowing the space for that input to come in. That's when I started to get the answers. And it was funny because it wasn't even just through thinking about it. It was in paying attention to the action that I was taking, even in the silence and the solitude, the things I was choosing to write about or read or do with my time, noticing that when no one else was around, what I chose to turn to. How I showed up when there was no cameras and no friends, no responsibilities. And the answers poured in. To be honest with you, when I say answers, that's being generous. I basically got one answer. And I'm not going to share it here. because there will be a special announcement about it. It'll be the whole theme of season two for The Art of Choosing Love. It's going to be the basis from which I create everything for this year. And it all started with asking, what do I want and why do I want it? The how I don't know yet. That will reveal itself. But the cool thing is all of the hows, the creation of that is so exciting because it is stemming from a why that gets me charged up. When we operate from a why that is our highest excitement, all of the hows become exciting. And so as we start 2019, so many people can fall into the pattern of up, back to work, had the holiday break, now it's time to get back into the grind and the flow that I was in before. And my invitation is to recognize the output that you had been operating through, the routines, the patterns. You could even write them down. Say, hey, this is what my normal week or day kind of looked like in 2018. It was pretty clear. And then ask, is that what I want? Can I switch things up? Can I design things differently? To give you a tangible example, in 2018, I was regularly on my phone checking emails, social media messages, because a lot of, you know, social media messages at this point oftentimes are like emails. I'm getting collaborations, professional inquiries and stuff through social media, so it can become confusing. So I was regularly checking email and messages. And the space. So imagine we're at a restaurant, I order some food, great, there's going to be some time in between. It wasn't uncommon for me to get on the phone and look at the messages in that window. But if I'm looking at the messages, I'm dealing with what is right there in the present, and I'm not creating the space for new inspiration to come through. That might be possible if I just sit and just people watch or meditate. Or get into a conversation of some kind with someone new or with my team about what's inspiring to us right now. And so I've committed to designing in 2019, I'm designing the lifestyle where I will only check messages twice a day. I will check them in the morning and I will check them in the evening. Anything that requires immediate attention, those people could get a hold of me in a different way. And this will remove this idea of constantly throughout the day checking emails. This is going to take some setup. There's systems that get to be designed in order for me to actually do that. But this is what I desire because I want more spaciousness in my life for input, for creativity to flow through me. And this is something that I believe I would like to design. And through taking the steps to design it, I may realize that's not what I want, possibly, but this is a step that I'm taking. And so for you, what is the design you'd like to see for your life? How would you like your days to flow? How would you like your weeks to go? What would you like life to look like if you were to design it for yourself? And now, why? Why do you want that? Ask those questions. Why do I want to design my life that way? And you might get underneath what it looks like and start to get to that emotional reason, the actual fire underneath it. Because that's the thing that will motivate you and inspire you to do the work necessary to create it. Find that passion, find that part of you that wants it on a deep emotional level because it will bring a sense of freedom. For me, I feel it will unlock more of my creativity. It will remove more of the feelings of responsibility and pressure. And that will allow more creativity and more excitement and more fun and more play. And I want all of those things. And so that is what will motivate me and continues to motivate me to design my life exactly how I want to live it. We have the ability to do that. We are the creators of our reality. Some of us, it may take more time, more work, more planning, more moving things around. But it's not impossible for anyone. It's definitely not impossible for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking this time for input. I hope that it will serve you in designing the life of your dreams so that you may serve others by being an example of what's possible. As always, in all ways, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.